Praise God. See, God is a supernatural God, but He uses us. We are not supernatural. You know, we are flesh and blood, and no matter how much you do this, you know, if unless you just get real egotistical, you will always have to go to God and say, God, please, you know, I want this to be you. I don't want to say things that aren't right, you know. When you go to pray for somebody, when somebody's sick and you go to pray for them, God speaks to you to pray for somebody. You don't always feel this supernatural thing. A lot of times you don't feel anything. A lot of times all you feel is vulnerable. But that isn't what it's about. What it's about is you are offering God a vessel to impart something that He has through you, and it's not about you. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise God. I'm trying to pace myself here. I'm about to explode. When as we're talking about the things of God, for this in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 in Amplified Bible, we've been talking about the exceed, you know, how that by His power He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've talked about how that He has made us through the exceedingly great and precious promises. He's made us a partaker of His divine nature. We've talked about how that we're not corrupted by the world through lust, and we've been talking about all that and all the things that God has prepared for us and given us. And then in verse 5, Paul says, for this very reason, all the things that Paul just talked about in the preceding verses qualifies what he's about to say. For this very reason, what very reason? That by His power He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That He's multiplied grace and peace upon you. Study out that. It's talking about soul peace. It's talking about being free. The word peace there means to be free from agitating passions. Humanity is plagued with agitating passions. And Paul said, I pray for you that the peace of God, or the freedom from agitating passions, be upon you. Wow, that's a freedom now. And he goes through the list of all the things that has been given to us, and then he says, for this very reason, adding your diligence. The Amplified says, adding your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. How many understand that he is talking about employing every effort to exercise your faith, okay? Can we repeat that some more? We don't get it. We think, okay, God, I'm going to try this a little bit and see if it works. That is not what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about employing every effort. In other words, you put yourself into this. You invest yourself into this thing. And you continue to invest your energy. You continue to invest your mind. You think about it. You meditate about it. You fantasize about it until you start dreaming about it at night. And then it starts happening in the day. You literally become obsessed with the things of God. I know we know how to do that because we are obsessed with everything else. We obsess about stuff. Well, let's start obsessing about God. Let's start applying ourselves. I talked, I think it was last week, I talked about how that our American lifestyle has made it possible for us to have mediocre lives and still live a fairly blessed life. That's not what God wants out of you. God doesn't want a mediocre life. He doesn't want you to be satisfied with the manna in the wilderness. He wants you to crave the promised land. He wants you to think about the promised land. He wants you to dream about the milk and honey. He wants you to dream about the grapes that takes two men to carry. He wants you to dream about that. Why? Because if you're not dreaming about it, fantasizing about it, the enemies that stand in your way will always look too big. But when your passion is greater than your fear, your passion will overcome your fear and abolish it and cause you to move forward. This is not a fantasy. This is reality. But we have to learn to employ every effort. Every effort. That means you push through things that try to stop you. That means you don't even give credit to it. That means when the devil inspires people to say negative things to you, that you don't even give credit to that statement. You just pass it off and say, you know, I don't know what that's about, but that ain't what I'm thinking about right now. What I'm thinking about is employing every effort. Every effort to exercise my faith. And how do you employ every effort to exercise your faith? You do that by believing, pursuing, and when it doesn't happen, you believe and you pursue. And when it doesn't happen again, you believe and you pursue, and you continue to build your faith and employ your faith until there comes a time when it starts happening in your life. Because you're employing every effort to exercise it, to make it happen, to receive that into your life. It means that obstacles no longer determine your advancement. It means that obstacles now are just simply losers. Enemies that come against you are fixing to be collateral damage of the battle. Jericho is about to fall, and everybody's about to find out that God's almighty. Amen. The river that's overflowing and keeping you out of what God has for you is about to stand still and dry out so you can cross over. Why? Because you're wading in. You done put your feet in the water and you're wading in. Woo. Come on, I'm trying to pace myself. I'm trying to be calm here. Yeah. If you could only feel what's erupting inside of me. Praise God. Faith to receive. Sometimes it takes a while. So I said sometimes it takes a while. Oh, this instant attitude, we got to have it now. No, you ain't going to get it now. You're going to develop it. You're going to exercise it. You're going to come into this thing. You're going to live it out. We have this deal of you know, when we have needs, all of a sudden, okay, God, it's got to be now. You haven't done nothing about it up to this point. Exercising your faith is not in the time of devastation and need. Exercising your faith is when everything's going good, you're not content. You're not happy with where you're at. You're exercising your faith. You're saying, hey, I've got some pursuit to do. There's more than this. Amen. There's more than this. When we get it in our mind and realize that God has chosen to participate with me and with you. I was sharing with the elders that as leaders and as people that are called to give, you have to come to a place where the act of giving is what feeds you. You don't have to be fed because you're being fed by the fact that God Almighty is participating and operating with you, and the fact that you're getting a give is feeding you. Your relationship with God is what it's all about. Praise God. We can't stand and wait for somebody to make us feel good about who we are. God's already done that. You can't wait for an approval rating. This isn't politics. You gotta find that approval rating with God. You gotta go in the presence of God and say, God, Are you pleased with me? You know, and he says, man, I couldn't be happier, Jesus. No, I'm Tim. God says, you look like you're in Christ to me. Woo! You look like you're in Christ to me. All I can see is a finished product. All I can see is the blessing that I put upon you. All I can see is the fact that you're my child. And I approve of you because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise God. So the diligence to employ every effort in exercising your faith to do what? To develop virtue. Virtue, in the Amplified, is the definition gives for virtue is excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. So we give every effort to exercise our faith so that we can begin to produce virtue. And we're all saying, okay, that's good. Woo, glory to God. Now, what is that? What's that look like? Virtue, the excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. Let me sum this up for us real fast. We exercise our faith to get virtue. Virtue is the impact your faith has on those around you. See, you come to a place where it's no longer just about you trying to get something from God. But you add to your faith virtue, and virtue is the impact that your faith makes on the people that you come in contact with. And all of a sudden, they begin to feel Jesus walking down the street. And all of a sudden, this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years comes pushing through the crowd, crawling, digging. And if we could only get this vision in our mind, my goodness, when we want something for God, we say, God, we need the anointing. We need your presence. Well, are you on your hands and knees digging through the obstacles, digging through the things that are holding you back and reaching for the hem of his garment? Or are you standing at the back of the crowd saying, well, I sure wish I could have it. I sure wish Jesus, I sure wish you'd come over here. No, this woman said, I know that if I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get what I have believed. I'm going to get what I need. And she pushed her way through. She crawled her way through. Jesus had more than faith. He had virtue. In other words, there was an impact on those that come in contact. Well, hey, I sound like T.D. Jakes now. There's an impact from the contact. I call him up and let him have that one. People begin to be impacted by your life, and you don't even have to do anything. It's not like you're walking around saying, I know. Yeah. Woo, can you feel it? No, most of the time you're not feeling anything. You know, Jesus wasn't, you know, feeling all big and powerful. He was making his way through a crowd, and his disciples were trying to push him aside. That's why they got so, you know, that's why they're so taken back when Jesus said, who touched me? It's like, we can't even get the people out of your way, and you're asking who touched you? But Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of me. I felt excellence go out of me. I felt Christian energy go out of me. Somebody just got impacted. Somebody just got impacted. I love it when the things of God, when I share something with people and it just tears them up. I find out later they can't sleep. They can't, you know, it's just eating at them and it just, I love that. You know why? Because somebody just got impacted. And I know it wasn't me. Amen. Praise God. Without Jesus, we're just not much of an impact. Everybody just admit that. Without Jesus, there ain't much going to happen. You might be impacted, but it's going to be a first impression. Most of the time, those aren't positive. We're a judgmental, criticizing, cynical, sarcastic people. And most people you run into, that's the first thing going to rise up in them. But when all of a sudden they feel something beyond what you are, and they get impacted by excellence, they get impacted by Christianity, they get impacted by virtue, all of a sudden it's not you anymore, and they feel the impact of that. When people are sick and you pray for them, they feel the impact. With all diligence, exercise your faith so that you can come to a place where it's more than just faith. Now there's virtue. Virtue flowing out. Instantaneous, temporary experiences are not what makes the world pay attention. Continued flow is what touches people. We can have an experience that doesn't last, and today you're all up on cloud nine or whatever you call it. You're up on the mountain peak, and 2 weeks later they run into you and they wonder what happened to you, you know, because you're not there anymore. Now you're singing the blues. And it's a roller coaster. But when God's operating in your life, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He presents Himself. And even though you might not be feeling good, He'll present Himself right in the middle of it. Praise God. Right in the middle of your bad day, Jesus will present Himself and impact somebody. And you'll leave there thinking, I don't know how that happened. I've told you different times. I've seen people healed when I didn't even want to pray for them. How's that happen? You know, when I was in a had a bad attitude. How's that happen? I don't know. I remember reading a story about Oral Roberts when he first started his, you know, the tent meetings and people were being healed and stuff. This one woman come to the meeting. She never got to be prayed for. You know, she came, and she never could get to the point of being prayed for, and she needed a healing bad, and I forget what the need was, but she watched, and at night they would take him out the back into a car and drive him off when he was so exhausted he couldn't stand up, and so she got back behind that tent, and when they started out with him, she ran up and grabbed hold of his coat and held on to his coat and then went, oh, God touched her. Oral Roberts turned around. He was tired. He was weary. He was give out. And he turned around like, let go of me. And she got healed. How can let go of me turn into, woo, I got it? It's because virtue is what makes the impact. Praise God. Virtue. Diligence. To press in. God's been doing some awesome, awesome things in the natural in our lives and in this church. I believe that it is the precursor to a spiritual outpouring. Amen. A lot of times things begin to happen in the natural before the real spiritual outpouring begins to take place. And it begins to move powerfully. Praise God. Everybody hold your hands out just like this. This is a prayer I've been praying for a while, and it is phenomenal what's been taking place. Hold your hands just like this. Now say, Father, I receive into my life the wealth of the kingdom, your kingdom, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in my life, spirit, soul, and body. Financially, every part of my life saturated with the kingdom of God, with your wealth, with your riches. Praise God. Do you believe what you just prayed? You believe that's going to happen? Well, you got to do it. You got to keep doing it. You just got to keep doing it. Amen. You got to practice it. I've been practicing this for years since God showed me the vision. I don't even know if I should share this with you. Holy Spirit, help me here. Ever since God showed me the vision of the open hand, things just wasn't happening. He'd sent me to do works around the world and to do stuff, and there was Everywhere was roadblocks. There was no money to do it with. We were suffering. We were struggling. And God showed me a vision. He told me, He said, "So you think I'm the problem?" There's nothing like getting scolded by God. I mean, all He has to do is ask you a question and you know you're in trouble. Because if God asks you a question, He's not trying to get an answer. He knows the answer. He's just trying to get you to get the answer. And He said, "So you think I'm the problem?" I stopped and I said, "Obviously, I do." Because I've just been complaining for the last hour, telling you how nothing, you know, what's up, God. And He showed me a vision of a hand just like this, stretched out, open. And He said, "If my people can start living like this, I will pour the wealth of the world through them into the kingdom of God." But He said, "Every time I release blessing into my people, they do this. It becomes about them. And they grab hold of that blessing like there's not going to be any more." And He said, "The problem is, once they close their hand, I can't get anything out of it, but I can't get anything back in it either." That touched my life. I mean, that impacted my life. And from then on, I started praying, "God, show me how to do this. Show me how to do this." So I started doing that all the time. "God, here's my hand. Here's my hand. God, here's my hand. You put it in and I'll transfer it." Nothing happened. For years, nothing happened. I'd get a little, you know, something would happen just a little bit here and a little bit there, and it would be encouraging, but the rest of the time, it was just nothing. And I would continue to do that, and I would get discouraged and think, "God, you know, what is it I'm missing here? You know, you told me this, and I can't seem to get there. You know, God knows you a whole lot better than you know yourself." Amen. But God revealed that to me, and He's been teaching us. The things that I've been preaching to you has been coming so alive in me, and I'm experiencing what I'm preaching. Come on, somebody. You got to experience it. You can't just preach it. You got to experience it. If it's just preaching, if it's just reading, then it's nothing but a good novel. It's inspiring for a moment and cause you to have to daydream. It's like reading some kind of science fiction about outer space and imagine in your mind, but when you close the book, you're still here on earth and nothing happening. But when you begin to experience this, when you press in, when you add diligence to your faith and you press in, you don't allow discouragement to rob you. You don't allow the devil to stop you. You don't allow circumstances to dictate to you what you're going to be and what you're going to do. But even though it seems like it's a long way off and it seems like there's clouds covering the sun, it seems like you can't get anywhere, it seems like you're living in a prison instead of being free, you've got to have your eyes focused outside of the wall and say, "God, I know where I'm going and somehow I'm going to get there because I've received your word into my heart." And you got to keep pushing. Pressing. You gotta, I've been praying lately. Oh, I want this to happen so bad. I've been saying, "God, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Remember the book of Acts? It's still today. And there is a pastor in prison in Iran. And you open the prison bars for Peter. And I want you to open those doors and let him walk out of there. And they can do nothing about it." They went and checked the prison. One time, the doors were still closed, but there wasn't anybody in the cell. What happened? God translated them out of there. And next thing you know, they're out there preaching in the streets, and they're saying, "How'd that happen?" You know, at that point, I think I would have backed down and said, "Woo, maybe we ought to leave these guys alone." But they threatened them. And the disciples said, "Well, you know, threaten all you want. But we're going to do what God told us to do." Hallelujah. Peter and Silas in the prison, in the dungeon, just been beat. No way out. Looks like everything's over with, and there's nothing there. But Paul and Silas knew something that we didn't know, and that is that the prison bars and the cell is not what held them. It couldn't hold them. And they begin to go beyond the prison doors. They begin to go out beyond the prison. They begin to go out beyond the magistrates that put them in there. And they ascended into the heavenlies with praise and worship in the middle of that situation. And the next thing you know, the prison starts shaking. The doors start coming open. And they preach the gospel and the people get saved that imprison them. This is still that day. Oh, if we can grab hold of this, this is still that day. God's still a supernatural God. Hallelujah. He's still a God that performs things outside of our ability. And every morning, driving to work, I've been working on the north side of Springfield. It's a long way up there. And it gives me a long time to pray and make declarations. And I have so enjoyed it. I imagine people that pass me on the road, or the ones I'm passing, whichever it is. Something about the anointing coming on you, you know, makes you go faster. I don't know what that is. Come on, Brother Steve, laugh. Come on. Come on, somebody. Tell your officers that it's the Holy Ghost that does it. I'll be going along praying, and I'll say, God, come on. Come on. He's been in that prison long enough. He's been in that prison long enough. I said, I shouldn't say this. Some of y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I said, God, put me over there. Put me around that cell with him. And let me lead him out of there. Amen. Translate us back. Next thing you know, he's from Iran. He's preaching on the streets of America, talking about the glory of God. I said, God, you can do it. You did it. You can do it. Amen. Why? Because God wants us to give all diligence to exercise our faith so that virtue begins to flow out of us and the world begins to be impacted by the faith God's put inside of us. It's not enough to have faith for you just to get by on. God wants us to practice our faith until it begins to impact others. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We got an extra hour today, don't we? No, that's spring. We done lost an hour. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. I haven't gotten near. When we practice what God has told us, when you pray what God has told you, when you take the scriptures we've been reading here in 2 Peter, and in Ephesians, where he said, was it chapter 3, where he said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, 3 and 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think. That is not a fantasy. Matter of fact, in John chapter 15, he said, if you love me and keep my commandments, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And we read that and we ask and it doesn't happen and we think, why? What's going on? You're not giving diligence to your faith. We can't just be lazy all year and then all of a sudden one day have faith. It's good preaching. Come on, somebody. It's a daily thing. It's a daily diligence. It's a daily pushing for it. Amen. Now, don't stop giving in the offerings here when I tell you this. Sometimes it's almost fearful to mention God blessing church too much because people say, oh, they don't need my time. Yes, we do. Matter of fact, you need them. Amen. Yeah. You need to show God and the world that money doesn't have a hold on me so I can give. I can give to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just about God saying you got to give this. It's about you saying, I am not bound. My hand is open. I am not bound. Praise God. I've been praying this prayer for a long time. And 4 months ago, God began to show me, began to talk, the Holy Spirit began to say, claim the wealth of the kingdom. And I'm not here to give you some pyramid scheme, or I'm not taking an offering. Matter of fact, we don't even do that. The things we've accomplished, we haven't even pulled for offerings for. Other pastors ask me, say, how are you doing this? You know, they kind of have a frown on their face. How are you doing this? It's like, you're doing something illegal, aren't you? No. I just simply got on board with God and found out what He wanted to do and just somehow got to participate a little bit in it. And all of a sudden, it's like, woo, God, you really want to do what you want to do. Amen. Praise God. And so you know about how God's done the work in Rwanda. I've just continually, from the very beginning, I've said, God, here's my hand. You put it in it, I'll transfer it. And God has transferred until now we're getting ready to send the last bit of money to finish that church. You say, oh, we're done. Oh, we're not even close to done. We got other churches we're planting. That ministry is blowing wide open. We still got a Bible school to take care of. We still got training, skills training centers to develop. There's so much more that God, and you say, oh, no. Well, you didn't do it anyway. Quit acting tired. Quit acting wore out. You didn't do it. God did it. We're getting ready to send. I emailed Augustine the other day and I said, how much is it going to take to finish everything? To put the tile in the floor and everything. And he said about $7,500. And so me and Brother Mike just talking, we're getting ready to send $8,000 this week to finish that work. And you know what? It's not even going to put a strain on this church. In any way. Matter of fact, the work in Africa has been no burden or strain to this church. None. Isn't that amazing? See, first in the natural, and then in the spiritual. See, I've been praising God for the way He's meeting financial needs, but then I say, God, I am loving this, I'm enjoying it, but God, money can't heal people. Money can't save people. It can make it, we can get stuff, we can get there, we can do stuff, but it's the presence. It's the presence of God. Hallelujah. In the last 4 months, like I said, don't think we don't, you know, okay, the church doesn't need anything. In the last 4 months, God has blessed me. Not personally, but I have been blessed to have over $60,000 put in my hand for this church in the last 4 months. More than $60,000 for this ministry, for this church. I didn't keep a dime of it. And I've been able to have that put in my hand from people that have no connection here. Come on, somebody. And want nothing in return. Oh, is that not a relief? As a pastor, I have absolutely hated money and money people in the church because they give, and next thing you know, they're making their demands. You're going to do this, or I'll quit giving. And I'm not a good politician. God did not bless me with the ability to be a politician. Because as soon as they say something like that, I tell them, I said, don't you ever threaten me again, and don't you ever think you can buy me or this church or this ministry again. You take your money and get out of here. See, a good politician would say, well, okay, and they'd try to get some more money out of it. I don't want their money. If they're giving it with rubber bands attached to it, I want nothing to do with it. Amen. Over $60,000 in checks for this church has been placed in my hand. And I've had the privilege on Sunday morning of walking to the offering receptacle and saying, God, thank you. And place it in the offering. It hasn't been the efforts of this congregation. It hasn't been what we've been able to produce. It's come from outside. It's come from places you'd never dream of it coming from. And yet, all of a sudden it shows up. And so I'm saying, oh, thank you, God. He's doing what he said. Y'all got quiet when I started talking about it. You should be shouting. You should be doing backflips. You should be saying, whoa, glory. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Don't tense up on me. It's been an awesome, awesome privilege for me as a pastor to be able to release funds into this church instead of needing to get funds from this church. You understand what I'm talking about? And to be able to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's been a few Sundays that I've went to the deacon and said, look, there's a very, very large check coming through the offering today. It's real. It won't bounce. It's real. Because, you know, when you're not used to that, you think, oh, what's this? Well, it's God. Amen. And so we have the opportunity. God has blessed us and prospered us. And so we, as deacons, we've met and said, okay, God, talk to us. If you're blessing us, talk to us and tell us what you want to do. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Gee. We're going to be able to repair some stuff. This church hadn't been repaired in a long time. And I haven't taken up an offering. Come on, son. Oh, come on. You ought to be shouting right here. Amen. I haven't stood up here saying, come on, you got to give. You got to give. You got to give. You got to give. This is the givenest church I've ever been around. No bigger than we are. We have given, given, given. And God has said, okay, I think I'll put my part in. Come on, somebody. Praise God. We've been willing to send out. We've been willing to give. We've not been selfish. We've supported missions when we didn't have a dime to our name. When it's going to be the last dollar we had, we wrote out the check and sent it. And God has always provided and given us. Because when God steps in and He says, okay, I think I'll do my part, it's always more than what we do. It's always more. And I got to ask you something. See that? So far in the last 4 months, we've had more money come into this church than what we've given. In other words, God doubled our income. More than doubled our income here at this church. Okay? And I'm thinking, okay, God, if you can do that in the natural. Come on, somebody. If you can do that in the natural, what's coming in the spiritual? Hallelujah. Because it's always more than the natural. Praise God. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Every day I hold my hands out and I say, God, I receive the wealth of your kingdom into our church. I receive the wealth of your kingdom into my life. I receive the wealth of your kingdom into our people. And I pray for you and I say, God, bestow upon our people. And I said, God, surprise them. Just surprise them this week. Oh, somebody raise your hand and say, okay, God, surprise me. Put it in my hand. Put it in my hand. What if God gave you $10,000 this week and said, hey, this is for India. Or, hey, this, could you release that? Is your hand open? Could you say, okay? See, if I was a good politician, the people that have been given all this money, I have no connection to. But I could have told them, hey, look, you know, how about dividing this up? No. Here it is. Come on, God. Because when we do this, we are frozen at that moment in what part that we have grabbed. And that's it. That's it. See, we as children of God, when God blesses us, it's almost like we think, oh, okay, I've got it. There might not be any more. There might not be any more. Oh, if we can just get this idea. Come on, somebody. We can just get this idea and we transfer this to the spiritual. And we realize our hands are open. And we say, God, add to my... I'm wanting to exercise my faith and add to my faith virtue. Virtue. It's great to be able to hand some money to somebody in need and see their need met. But how much more to lay your hand on them and they have no more need? Virtue. Virtue. Praise God. It's awesome to be able to help somebody in a natural way. But what if God speaks through you and transforms somebody's life to where you answer, you bring an answer that their life had been troubled with for years? What if the spiritual begins to flow out of you like a river? I got to tell you something. You might think you have nothing to give, and you open your mouth and all of a sudden a river flows out of you, and you wonder, where'd that come from? It's He who lives inside of you, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or think. You think you're so wore out, you think, I can't take another step. And next thing you know, you're running up a mountain and meeting a need, and you don't know how you got there. How'd you get there? There's somebody inside of you that's greater than you are. Praise God. You elders are thinking, you were so calm this weekend. Yeah, I'm always building in my... There's always stuff going on in my head that you don't know anything about. It's a dangerous place. What is it that we can give? What is it that we can release? How is it that we're so bound and imprisoned as children of God when God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises? How is it that we are so bound up like that, and yet Paul says, but for this reason. For what reason? What God has made available to you. For that reason, exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Hallelujah. See, for a long time I've been praying 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where God talks about, you know, sowing and reaping and being a cheerful giver and all that. And that's been preached and preached and preached and preached, and most of it's preached for greed. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just being honest. And I despise that. But I go on to the next part where it says, and He's able to make all grace abound toward you, in that you have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. And even goes on to say, having, in the Amplified it says, having no need of somebody else giving to you. I've been praying that for a long time, saying, God, I do not want to have to do things the way we've always done it, because I am not good at that. You know? What I've been saying is, God, make all grace abound toward us, in that we have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, come on, somebody. I want to be able to sit up and minister to people without trying to get money from them. I want to I want to go and minister to them and say, here, woo! God's a good God. And hand out, distributor. Oh, I've been declaring that this week. Every morning I've been saying, God, I'm a distributor. Make me a distributor of the kingdom of God. I want to pass it out. I want to be a distribution point. It's like Damon and Betty, they're doing over the road trucking now, and they go from distribution point to distribution point. It's just like that. We're those trucks that back up, and we back up to the distribution plate. We back up to the warehouse of God, and we say, God, load us up. Load us up. And we take off, and we deliver what God loaded us up with, and we pass it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. You should. I hope you're getting this. Okay? I hope you're getting this. Since I've been praying this, my family's been blessed. They don't even know why. Come on, somebody. Amen. Matter of fact, the other day I told him, I said, okay, God, I really appreciate, you know, passing around and everything, but can we focus a little bit of that? I don't mind giving it away, and I don't mind watching it be blessed, but every once in a while, God, you know, woohoo. Praise God. My oldest son and his wife, they've been looking for land for a long time. Remember when they put their house up for sale and it sold in 24 hours? They didn't expect that to happen. But sometimes when the blessing of God's on you, you got to watch your movements. You might ought to plan a little bit. Because when you make a move, it's liable to happen a little faster than what you thought it was going to happen. And so they've been living with Natalie's parents ever since then. And they've been looking for land. And every place that Benaiah has tried to buy land, the door has shut in his face. I mean, every piece, the door has shut in his face. I mean, he'd think he had it bought, and something happened and lose it. And they've been going through this and going through this, and I've just been declaring the blessing of God over them every morning. And God, I thank you that the wealth of the kingdom is coming into my family in spirit, soul, and body, and in every way. God, I thank you that Benaiah and Natalie and Israel and Arya and this new baby that's coming, little Peanut, is blessed of the Lord. And God, you're pouring your wealth out on them. Just been praying that over and over and over. And they thought they had a contract on a piece of land that, oh, but I, you know, they just loved it. It has a it's river bottom. You know, he's a rancher. He loves cattle and all that. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And it had this nice river bottom, and it had a creek running through the backside that doesn't even go dry during the summertime, and all this kind of stuff. And he was so excited. He's got it bought. They have a contract on it. He pays the down payment, and all of a sudden they call him up and say, whoops, there was a contract on this earlier of a person that had the right to first offer, and we didn't do it, and they're threatening to sue us. And so the landowners are about to get damaged really bad. So Benaiah and Natalie back out and say, no, we're not going to let that happen. And they protected the landowners and kept them from being sued. And they let go of it. They released it. Even though it was devastating to them, they released it and said, no, we're not going to let you be damaged. But there was another piece of land connected to that that was even better than this piece of land, 40 acres. And they asked him about that, and they said, no, that'll never go on the market. Guess what? Been praying the blessing of God on them. And then a woman in their church had a dream and called him up and said, God told me that we're to go and speak to the land. We're supposed to go down there and speak to the land. And so they got together. Natalie come to me and she said, you ever heard about anything like that? And I said, oh yeah, I do it all the time. She said, it sounds weird. And I said, get with them. Go speak to the land. I said, honey, sometimes obstacles come in your way and you got to stand your ground and say, this is my provision. This is my blessing. And so they met with them. They went down there. They spoke to the land. Guess what? The land that they were wanting, they were speaking to the piece of land that they just lost and saying, God, this belongs to us. All of a sudden, that nicer piece, that 40 acres with the big valley and the creek and then this hillside that goes up in this big round hill with a panoramic view all over. I mean, they're going to a place for them to build a house and it has this panoramic. They can see everywhere. It's right down below that big mansion. You know where the big mansion is up here? It borders that land. And that man had already said, I want that land. He had plenty of money. He could have bought it. Several others went after that land as soon as it went on the market. But the realtor stepped forward and said no. Because of what they did. Nobody gets to look at that land until they decide whether they want it or not. And they went and made an offer, and they signed the papers, and Benaiah sent me pictures last night of him standing in the middle of that creek. Hallelujah. See, God rewarded and blessed them with more than what they were asking for. Sometimes we feel like we're the little children of God getting kicked around and nothing good ever happens for us. Well, you got to listen to what we've been preaching. Listen to what the Word of God's been saying. You can't just all of a sudden in your recliner wheel up to the blessing of God and expect it to happen. You got to get out of your recliner. You got to put diligence into it. You got to press forward into your faith. You got to exercise your faith. You got to build up your muscle until virtue begins to happen. And I ain't near satisfied. Because I tell God every day, I say, oh God, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning. I thank you for it, God. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know I preached a long time, but y'all don't even realize it, do you? No. So virtue. Virtue is the impact that others feel. Virtue is the impact that others experience because of the faith working in your life. And you have that virtue. Praise God. So if God, and I don't think He's through yet, praise God. Matter of fact, we've got an opportunity in India. You say, oh, Pastor, come on. We've been working in Africa. Well, yeah, we're working in India too. Come on, it ain't hurting you. Oh, I'm always amazed when people come to me and they're just wore out with it. Come on. All you need to do is exercise some faith. It ain't hurting you. Hey, man, we ain't going to sell your house to do it. Got to believe with me. Jump on board with me. This doesn't mean that you have to be the supplier. He's the supplier. I've been holding my hand out. We've got an opportunity in India. Dr. Benjamin has started a ministry, an outreach to pastors there called Holy Spirit Pastors Conferences, having a huge impact. And he's been able to go into every area of India. The doors are opening for him in a time of persecution when the church has been persecuted. The doors are opening for him to go in and gather pastors together and speak in their lives and build them up and increase them. And he was sharing it with me. And when he was sharing it with me, it's like it hit me. You know, a lot of times when God speaks to somebody, says something as God, it's almost like it goes like this. And it just kind of staggers me. And it's like, whoa, yeah, okay. I've been saying, okay, God, this is going to blow some of you out of the water. But I hope it blows you plumb up out of the water, where you can walk on it. Where I can walk on it. But I've been holding my hand out lately. Just the other day, Holy Spirit was talking to me about these conferences and the financial needs and things that, you know, the things that it's going to take. Dr. Benjamin told me how much it's going to take a month because you don't go over there and invite pastors. You go over there and you pay for their train fare. You feed them. You house them. You have to bring them. They don't have anything. You have to bring them in. You have to take care of them during that time. Very expensive. And yet it's so worth it. And I was praying about that. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth, I heard this figure come out of my mouth. And I have to tell you, it almost took me back. But I thought, whoa, okay. I was driving down the road. I bet people passing me are thinking, that guy is losing it. Because I'm driving along talking, and I've got my hands up, you know. And I'm passing people. Come on, God. Woo! And I had my hand out, and I said, God, You place $100,000 in my hand, and I'm going to India, and I'm going to distribute it, and we're going to make this thing happen. Come on, somebody. You say, $100,000. I got, you know what? God doesn't have a money problem. God doesn't have any problems. And I realize I've talked a lot about money today. I normally don't do that. Normally don't ever mention it. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that is the least. Jesus said that mammon is the least. If you're faithful in the least, I'll make you rule over many. And this is the least. So if this is happening in the least, what's coming in the most? Hallelujah. What's coming in the good stuff? Hallelujah. What's going to happen when you come walking in here and you say, you know what? I just happened on this person and I just touched them and they were healed. That's the most. Amen. See, handing somebody some money is the least. Handing somebody a miracle is the most. And so if God is doing this in the least, what's He got planned in the rest of it? Praise God. I have a feeling he's got a lot planned in the rest of it. Praise God. You say, oh, I couldn't do that. Well, yes, you can if you listen to what the Word says. I'm closing. Praise God. Have you ever noticed that preachers never say, I've closed? It's always closing. We're pretty smart. So that leaves room. Praise God. We have to save the rest of this for later. How many want to be a distributor for God? Praise God. How many believe out of this little congregation, God can do phenomenal things? How many believe that He wants to take the weak things and confound the wise? Amen. Well, a lot of people standing back wondering what in the world is going on in Healing River Worship Center when they hear what God's doing, because they realize we don't have the ability to do this. Praise God. So what's that do? It brings much thanksgiving to Him. How many believe out of this little congregation God can perform miraculous things? Yeah, how many believe out of this congregation God can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, preach the gospel to the poor? Praise God, in this area and abroad. Praise God. How many believe God can raise up in this church the gifts and anointings we need to fill the gap and to make this thing happen? Praise God. How many realize that I'm not the only person here that has anointing? How many believe that God doesn't want me to be the focal point? Praise God. I'm one piece. And God's wanting to fill in the blanks where the pieces come together. Praise God. We talked this weekend, Pastor Rob taught on what was the title of that? Something about no ego. Huh? Culture of no ego. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Culture, you know what culture of no ego is? That's when God's moving through somebody else, the rest of them aren't thinking, well, why didn't He move through me? No, we're all celebrating, saying, come on, son, get it. Amen. Go! Why? Because it's about what God's doing, not about what we're doing. Praise God. We can stand up and be the person God's using, or we can step back and be the cheerleader for the person God's using. It doesn't matter. See, God wants to fill in the blank. How many's believing with me? God wants to fill in the blanks here. God wants to fill in, and He wants to produce things through this little church. God did not call us. He hadn't brought us this far to leave us. He didn't dump us. He didn't speak to us. He has not gave prophetic words over this place and over our lives for nothing. We have just got to exercise our faith and keep pushing and keep pressing. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Woo! Come on. Stand with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm fired up. Thank God for it. And no, I didn't get much sleep this weekend. Hallelujah. If I preached this morning the way that my physical body feels, I'd have preached about a 5-minute message and said, I got to go to bed. I'll see you. There's somebody on the inside of us. And what's on the inside of us wants to present Himself. He wants to present. Praise God. Everybody understand that? God wants to present Himself. And He's not going to do that outside of you. He's going to do that through you. Through your hands. Everybody look at your hands. And say, God, these are distribution points. Everybody touch your mouth. Say, God, this is a distribution point of the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We're not just people believing God. We are people saturated with God. And that's what God wants.